Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is marking the anniversary of the fall of the Shah. So the light of the Aryans, the shadow of God, were some of the grandiloquent titles that he arrogated to himself, Muhammad Reza Pahlavi. It was on this day in 1979 that he boarded a plane in Tehran, saying he was flying abroad to seek medical treatment. Well, that was half true. He was suffering from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The public didn't know what his illness was. I mean, he seemed very healthy for a man his age, a man aged about 54. But also, it's because of the disturbances in the country, he was losing control of the situation. Hundreds of protesters have been shot dead. Some of them really was protest, some of it was riot, and so on. And he was finding that the loyalty of the armed forces was increasingly shaky, and so on. So that's him and his son Reza Pahlavi. Claims to be the Shah of Iran, has lived in Washington, D.C. since most of that time. Remember, the Pahlavi dynasty only lasted two generations. Muhammad Reza Pahlavi's father was a cavalry officer who overthrew the Qajar dynasty that ruled for a few centuries. And admittedly, the majlis in the parliament then proclaimed that this cavalry officer was the Shah of Iran. So now that Iran appears to be a pre-revolutionary situation, is worth considering what pertained the last time that there was regime change in Iran. So, but when that Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, when he flew abroad, he went to Egypt initially, spent some time in Panama, the Bahamas. He was in the United States, I think, briefly, then forced to move on. He died in Egypt only a year after he'd fled. President Anwar Sadat gave him asylum. Remember, I was his second wife had been Egyptian, and indeed he's buried there in a mosque. I've been to it, which is very associated with the Fatimid dynasty that ruled medieval Egypt, who were Shia. Even though the Shia are now a tiny minority of Egypt, I don't think they were ever a majority of the Muslims there. Going back to him, so yeah, he had his own father being pushed out by the British army, by the Soviets indeed, in the Second World War, sent into exile overseas and died, I can't remember where. And the Qajar dynasty, they'd fled to the United Kingdom on being ousted in the 1920s. And that Shah died, his younger brother was his heir, and then he died. And then the last Qajar Shah's nephew was the claimant, and he was a British subject who couldn't speak Persian. And in the 1940s, as reading Eastern Approaches by Fitzroy MacLean, the British even considered, would they push aside the Pahlavis and bring back the nephew of the Shah from the previous dynasty, but thought, well, he doesn't really have much credibility. Used to say subject, not citizen, being a British subject and being unable to speak the language. But so why was the Shah overthrown? Well, really, he'd ruled as an absolute monarch, which is fairly unpopular. And it's for him and a clique around him, some upper class Tehranis, life was good. But a lot of people lived in terrible poverty. And I mean, real poverty, not the so-called poverty you have here. A lot of children never went to school and so on. And you may see these images of upper middle class life in Tehran. It's all very attractive in the 1970s, and they're living just like middle class Westerners. But that was a tiny segment of the population. And the oil wealth that mostly went to you know, foreign companies or to some people who are close to the Shah. And he had his white revolution to try and modernize the country bloodlessly. But I think white also is conservative. That yes, there'd be the emancipation of women, but there'd be no political freedom, no political parties, no trade unions, no right to strike and so forth, and limited free expression, no criticism of the Shah and so on. And so he was very Occidentophile. In the mid-70s, he'd celebrated the 1,000th year of what it was, the existence of Iran as an entity, and had invited all sorts of world leaders. And there was a really lavish celebration. So what an extravaganza, squandering money on that and not feeding his people. So, but it was very much backward looking, skipping the Islamic era, looking back to Persia. Well, I think that's been more than 1,000 years, is looking back to, you know, Cyrus and Dariush and so on. So he downplayed Islam. He occasionally made a show of being an observant Muslim, going on Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca. But he didn't eat halal. He drank alcohol and whatever his wife wore un-Islamic clothes. You could say what in the Western world would be considered perfectly ordinary clothes. I mean, very elegant, fashionable, expensive clothes, but I mean, not particularly revealing, but they weren't ridiculously modest either. Could show her lower arms and her ankles and obviously her face and neck and all the rest of it. So for some people who were pious Muslims, they thought this was sinful, this was decadence and so forth. And he spent so much of the budget on weapons, a very good customer for US arms manufacturers, and going to be a stalwart Cold War ally if it came to it, one of the few Muslim countries to still sell oil to Israel. Nevertheless, he was critical of Israel and said that Jewish influence, as he put it, not Zionist influence in the United States, was excessive through media ownership and stuff like that. So major demonstrations in the late 1970s, he overestimated his popularity and just how far discontent had spread. And the Grand Ayatollah Khomeini, as a religious leader, had gone into exile in Iraq, and the Shah had later pressurized the Iraqis to expel him. Khomeini had gone to France. Now, the sort of world that Khomeini wanted to build and the French liberté, égalité, fraternité couldn't be more different. You know, sipping wine and ladies bathing topless on the beach was not exactly what the society Khomeini wanted to build. Anyway, so the Shah flew abroad, and they're said to be a power vacuum. The Grand Ayatollah Khomeini flew back to be greeted by about a million people. Cassette tapes of his sermons have been smuggled into Iran and played and things like that. But there'd be large-scale brutality by the Shah's secret police, Savak, and torture, use of torture by them was quite widespread and so on. So he was distant, aloof, not in touch with his people, unwilling to make political concessions and so forth, believing he had to be an absolute monarch, but allowing people liberty in the personal sphere, where you eat and drink and wear and sport for women and things like that. And obviously Islam was allowed, but it was never imposed. And the Jewish minority, they were allowed to live there. Were the only Muslim countries where they were not hassled by the government, and as well as the tiny Christian minority. He fled abroad, and it wasn't clear, were the communists going to take over, were they going to be Western-style liberals or what? In the end, it was theocrats, because I suppose that had the most purchase amongst the masses. A lot of people illiterate in the countryside, they knew what Islam was. They didn't know what these newfangled ideas were. And indeed, the leftists, the Tudeh party, were really wiped out by the Islamists later. And that's when the Iran-Iraq war began. So, much though that the theocracy has been worse, is very cruel and very oppressive. That doesn't mean that the Shah was all good. You've got to remember how detested he was. Huge crowds shouting Marg Bar Shah, as in death to the Shah, and stuff like that. He sponsored a Kurdish rebellion in Iraq, and they'd sponsored one against him and stuff like that. So there he was. And Jimmy Carter has warmly praised him, even though he knew that the human rights record of Iran was bad. Remember the Shah, he'd been educated at Institut Le Rosé in Switzerland, where he's taught in French and English, and he was completely fluent in both languages. So that was the end of him. And then Iran appeared to go back several centuries. But then, of course, for some traditionalist families in the countryside, it wasn't such a big change, hadn't really moved with the times. So I think some of the Western perceptions of Iran are a bit skewed by looking at cosmopolitan, educated, wealthy circles in the major cities. Partly, he was seen as being a puppet of the West, of giving their oil and wealth to the United States and the United Kingdom and so on. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then to PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.